In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel this morning from St. Mark sets before us the foundation of our faith in the mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist. The Lord feeds the 4,000. We know that it was as many as 5,000 or more, not counting women and children, according to the accounts given us in the other synoptic Gospels. Of course, the Lord does this, again, to call his faithful to deeper intimacy with him and a greater trust and confidence in him. As the Heavenly Father did for ancient Israel, so our Lord now does for us. Trust in me because of what it is that I have done and am doing for you even now. Believe not only because of the words that I preach to you, but because of the things that I have done for you and the gifts that I have given you. In a sense, the Lord never says to us simply, take my word, although in truth that is precisely what transpires. He gives us himself, which is the word. And in giving of himself, he says, listen to me, see what it is that I do, and have trust and confidence in me. But brothers and sisters, we know also from the very beginning that as much as the Lord did all the things that he did, up to and including, as St. Paul reminds us in his exhortation to the Romans, dying and rising to new life, if one does not want to believe, if one does not want to be obedient, if one does not want to give himself over to God, then it doesn't matter what the Lord does for us. Because the first step has to be a willingness to be obedient to God, to do what God commands us to do, to listen to God, and in that relationship of humble obedience, then to do and accept from God. If we wait around for God to prove himself to us, we will always be asking and wanting and desiring more. It will never be sufficient. Such is the deficiency of the human condition corrupted by original sin. We want more. We demand more. We expect more. In modern society, modern man is incapable of then bending his will to God, even as he asks God to give him all of these things, do all of these things for me. He remains disobedient and recalcitrant and difficult, and all the while angry and dismissive of God. Why doesn't God do this or that? That has then led modern man to simply get rid of God altogether. Of course, God is not giving me what I want, therefore God does not exist. Certainly is an easier way to go about the business of the things of God. Dismiss him, push him aside, destroy him. That's what modernity has actually done. All the while, because we are built for God, we are created in his image and likeness, and therefore can truly never be too far away from God himself, because we are unto him. There is this dissatisfaction that has led to this world of nihilism and nothingness. The only thing that has meaning is that which we give meaning to. Yet that's not how the world works. That is not how God has crafted his existence. Its meaning stands outside of us, and it is something toward which we are drawn, which we move, to which we grow. We don't give meaning to life. We uncover, or it has been uncovered for us, the meaning that God has bestowed upon the world. Its understanding, its order, its structure, its discipline, all of these things God has bestowed upon us. And the response that we must make then is to do what God commands us to do. Now, there is the tendency, since we are traditional people practicing traditional ways of worship, to believe that somehow we have cornered the market on this discipline, this gift of ourselves to God. After all, aren't we better than everybody else because we go to the traditional Mass? And even if we don't ask the question or even phrase it that way, there is a tendency to some type of superiority that is even worse than the disobedience of those who are away, precisely because we know better. Precisely because we are here, the expectations are even greater for how we are to live our lives. This is not a pass or a get out of jail free card or some way of downplaying the practice of our faith because I come here and therefore I don't have to give as much. Actually, more is even expected of us. Because as you have heard me say many, many times, although it's been a while since I've said it here, it is only when we live as we should that the world will be transformed and changed. Governments, principalities, mights, they have their place, certainly, a very valuable and necessary place in the world. But the agent of transformation, the agent of conversion is God Himself. And we, as His beloved sons and daughters, become then instruments of the transformation of the world that He Himself has ordered. This is the only reality, brothers and sisters. There is nothing else to discover or unfold. And so what must you do to live this out? You must be obedient to God. And obedience requires humility. It requires faith, trust, and confidence. And these are things that must be practiced diligently every single moment of every single day of your life. Now, lest you conceive of this as overly complicated and difficult, being a man or woman of daily prayer will automatically dispose you to trusting in the Lord. Your life of faith, learning and knowledge about the faith, likewise assist you in deepening your relationship with God and being obedient to Him. As St. Paul reminds the Romans again, we are drawn into the very reality that is the Paschal mystery by the virtue of baptism. Why is it that we cannot simply believe what it is that has happened to us and the gift that has been given to us? Why do we persist, the Lord asks Thomas, but in truth is asking all of us, why do we persist in unbelief when we can simply choose to believe? Is it that simple? Yes, it truly is that simple. The practice of our Catholic faith becomes complicated because we are willful. It becomes difficult because we are disobedient. It becomes simple when we do what God asks us to do. So, we begin again, as we do each day. Not because it is somehow we've forgotten what has come before, but because the Lord provides us with every moment opportunities to yet again be more deeply and intimate in relationship with Him. The Lord gives us everything. There is nothing that He has kept from us. And the only thing that He asks and requires of us is this trust and confidence in this new life that He has gained for us upon the cross and this life that He has unfolded to us by the grace of baptism. In a few moments, many of you will come forward and kneel down to receive the living God. That act of reception is the most profound act of faith, but it also is a blood oath. Literally, in the blood of the Lamb Himself, whereby through the act of receiving, you are pledging to accept the living God who now is inside of you. And the God that you take inside of you, you are pledging to live His life, no longer yours, but His. This can be done, brothers and sisters, precisely because God does give us the gift of Himself. But you must bend your knees and bow your heads and be humble and obedient before God. Trust in the Lord who feeds and nourishes you. Have confidence in the grace that has been poured out upon grace that comes to us from the cross of our Savior. And then always following after our Blessed Mother, the perfect exemplar of apostolic realities, do whatever the Lord commands you to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.